Welcome to this episode of Reddit Guy. The subreddit we will listen to today is called r/maliciouscompliance. Our first post of this episode comes from Pipsqueak Pilot and it's titled You're Not Allowed to Approve Rental Cars. This takes place when I was in the Air Force and was Assistant Director of Operations in my squadron. Basically that means I was third in the squadron, and in charge of the day-to-day operation of AC-17 Flying Squadron. It was not uncommon for me to be the highest ranking person available in the squadron on a given day, as was the case this week, God help us all. Normally either the director of operations or commander was supposed to be around, but due to extenuating circumstances it was just me that week. The commander, not wanting to deal with having to sign rental car approval letters whenever someone went on temporary duty elsewhere, had delegated that authority down to me. One of our sergeants, staff sergeants, was going away for about 3 weeks to attend protocol school and some other training. Basically training in all the minutiae of interacting with VIPs, high-ranking generals, congressmen, whatever. Every base has a protocol section to deal with that and you have to attend the school first. As he was staying off base, I signed the letter authorizing him a rental car and forwarded the travel approval on up. About half an hour later I get a call from the operations group, composed of the flying squadrons and flying support squadron, resource advisor. She goes off about how I'm not allowed to approve rental cars, there isn't money for them, and there's a shuttle to the school from the hotel. I argue that there's not, she doesn't listen and insists there is, the rental car is denied, and I don't have the authority to authorize one anyway. Fine, I call the hotel and confirm that there is indeed no shuttle. The hotel is also not near any food. I resubmit the travel authorization with a taxi to and from the campus every day, and then one for dinner in the evening. I then authorize a taxi out and back to a restaurant for lunch and dinner on the weekends. It ends up being $640 a week in taxis versus $200 at the governmental rental car rate. I resubmit the travel authorization. A call comes in half an hour later, asking why the trip was now significantly more expensive. I explained I called the hotel and confirmed no shuttle, only then does she realize he's staying off base and tells me, go ahead and resubmit the travel authorization with a rental car approval. Sorry, I'm not authorized to approve a rental car. You'll need to draft a letter for the group commander, full colonel, to sign authorizing a car and rewrite the authorization if you want him to use a rental car. The next post from Samoria is titled Manager Complained That I Wasn't Tracking Enough of My Time. Around 10 years ago, I was working for an IT company that supported many small, medium-sized businesses in the area. Many of our customers paid a monthly fee for us to be available for phone-based support. We didn't bill for this time because it was included in their contracts. I was working salary and was way overworked because of bad management practices, frequently putting in 12 to 16-hour days. Management knew this. When I tried to explain to management that we needed more help because I was beyond burnt out, my manager stated that he couldn't justify the extra help because our numbers didn't show exactly how overworked we were. In fact, based on my ticket tracking, I was only putting in 7 to 8 hours a day. Is that so? From this point, I decided that every minute of my day would be tracked. Time could only be tracked in 5-minute increments. And we were told to track our time tracking time against our own company. 5 minutes on the phone with a customer. That got ticketed and entered into the time system. But I spent 5 minutes dealing with the time, ticket system so that also got tracked. Another call, 10 minutes. 5-minute ticket against us for time tracking. 20 minutes driving to a customer site. Tracked against the customer. 5 minutes against us. I ended up frequently entering dozens of things per day. Everyone in the team started doing this. It was a small team of 3, but the tickets all added up quickly. What's important to note is that every time we submitted a ticket or a time entry, the boss also got an entry in the system that he had to go review and approve. If he had to read the tickets and approve them, it would have taken most of a day just to approve everything. Then he could go about his normal day. But he didn't do this daily. He frequently waited a few days or a week before approving stuff. This meant that by the time he went into the system, he had hundreds of things to approve. He came to complain about the sheer volume of tickets and that he'd spent his entire weekend in the crummy ticket system just approving everything. We pointed out that this was exactly what he'd asked for. He asked us to go back to the old way. And then we couldn't justify our need for more help. Left the company shortly afterward because I was tired of being paid a pittance for skilled labor. Within 3 months, the rest of the team had quit. The company was sold and that department no longer exists. Less than shrug greater than at this point. Not my monkeys, not my circus. The next post from the Devil and Mr. Jones is titled Middle-aged woman wouldn't sit before the yellow line. Okay, so this happened when I was younger, but I remember it well, as does my entire family who saw it. We went to a zoo, probably a Six Flags zoo, maybe the San Diego, doesn't matter. But there was a lion show and my family went. There was a big, bold yellow line and it said, "Do not sit past the yellow line," on a sign before you enter the area. So my family follows the rules, and there's this woman that today we would call a Karen. She's the only one to sit in front of the yellow line. A zookeeper comes by and says, "Mom, would you like to move behind the yellow line?" And Karen goes, "No, I found my spot, this is my spot." The zookeeper goes, "Okay," and leaves her there. So the show opens, the lion keepers and tamers come out, and see the Karen in front. The showrunner tells the tiger a phrase, points at the lady, and the lion shoots a stream of piss at the lady, and she runs out of the show, coated in urine. The entire crowd laughs and the show goes on without issue. Not sure if this goes here, but it's a story that my family talks about every once in a while. Edit. I was a bit wrong on the story now that I bring it up again with my brother. The lion tamer didn't direct the lion to piss. The lion, however, did pee on her since she was in what was deemed the splash zone. The next post from Wandering Confusion is titled "The Contract Says What It Says." First post, on a mobile, but was reminded of this by a colleague recently and decided to share. Hope this isn't too long. Back in the mid-2000s, I managed the IT contacts for a large company. They were purchased by an even larger company and it became my job to renegotiate and assign the licensing and maintenance contracts to the new company. Most were agreeable, but the three biggest software companies saw it as a cash grab. This was about the time software licenses were moving from a per-seat to a per-processor model. The giants wanted to enforce that change. I'd already done the work and figured out headcount v processor count and which heads needed access, so I knew what we were paying for more than was necessary. The first giant shut up when I told them we would remove the software from the 90% of machines not using it and they could have their per-processor licenses and the corresponding maintenance adjustment. The company buying us dropped their licenses and absorbed our overage the next year. The second giant agreed to a steep discount on the change in licenses if we didn't touch the maintenance contract. The third was having none of it, and we actually mostly used the software. Alongside the change in licenses, they insisted on attaching the usual increase in maintenance fees for the entire company, not just the division being purchased, to a specific consumer price index. In the end, we wound up paying a very minimal fee, about $1,000, to get things done ahead of a regulatory deadline for the purchase of the company. The next year was ugly. We went several rounds about the exact amount of maintenance because the CPIU gets adjusted after the fact. We paid them, then they credited us when the number changed, twice. The account representative got ugly and their last email to me was, "The contract says what it says." At the end of year one, the housing market collapsed. For the first time ever, the CPIU was negative. Edit to add clarity by request. The contract was written as, "Fees shall be equal to the designated CPIU." Whatever the CPI said, that was the percent of the software cost to be paid as the fee for maintenance and support services. Cue the malicious compliance. Giant 3 was sent a bill for over $1 million. Yes, it was that big a contract. The account representative called screaming his head off and I told him, "The contract says what it says. Please put your concerns in an email I can discuss with the bosses." He did, and I was able to hand the whole thing off to the legal department. 2 weeks later, legal hosts a meeting. Giant 3 has given us a new representative, an agreement to pay the full amount in quarterly installments, and wanted to revisit the contract. The meeting was quick and very much to the company's benefit. Afterwards, I was offered a position in legal doing more of the same, but declined as I was starting my own consulting business. I still consult with them occasionally, which is how this came up. TL;DR A company gave us a crappy deal and made life unpleasant, so I held him to the terms, resulting in him paying us over $1 million. The next post from Clockwork Nitro Girl is titled "I Pranked My Ex-Classmates With My Haircut." I don't know if this is necessarily malicious compliance, but it's technically compliance, so it should be fine here. You're probably gonna ask, how is it possible to prank your classmates with a haircut? Well, sit back and let me tell you. This all happened when I was in 10th grade, before I dropped out of school due to issues. Here's a little backstory so you know where this is going. I, 18 plus F, have a longtime friend, whom I'll call Ryan, who I'm still talking with at present. I've known him for years and his family are really good friends with my family. We went to the same middle school before I transferred early and then he transferred to the same school I went to a year or two after I left. At the time, I was the weird loner anime girl in my class and as such, hardly had any friends. My then classmates were alright but were rather rowdy for my liking, so I mostly kept to myself, pretty lonely, I know. Also, for more clarification, the school we went to was a private academy. Boys and girls were separated, so I was unable to see Ryan most of the time. My classmates somehow caught wind that I had known Ryan before he transferred to the school we were in and started accusing me of having a crush in him. That's for me to know and you not to find out, greater than cheeky smiley face. Anyway, I have the thickest hair out of everyone in my family, so it came as no surprise when I wanted a trim. On an outing to the mall, my mom took me and my sister to get our hair done and my hair was done by someone ironically named Ryan. I bet you can guess where this is going. The second my mom and I saw the guy's name tag, my mom was like, "Now you can tell your friends Ryan did your hair." Oh, how right you were, Tilda. When I went back to school on Monday, my classmates noticed my haircut. They know Ryan as well, so here's how the convo went. Note: these characters are all girls around my age. No names for privacy reasons. Cast: A equals classmate 1, J equals classmate 2, H equals classmate 3, and the initiator of this wonderful little joke, me. J: hey, nice haircut. Me: thanks. Who cut your hair? Me: with the biggest shush tea eating grin on my face, Ryan cut it. J: no way, he did. Me: yep, Tilda. The conversation ended there, but the word spread through the initial friend group that J and A were in. Later, H, a sweet girl BTW, walked up to me. H: hey, is it true that Ryan did your hair? Me: yeah. H: OMG. She walked away after that, but I felt a little bad for telling a white lie to H, so I pulled her aside before the day ended. Me: hey, Ryan didn't really cut my hair. It was a different Ryan. H: oh. Oh, she playfully scolded me after it sunk in and we had a good laugh about it. Later, J and A confronted me about it. They weren't mad, but they admitted it was a clever prank. There was some teasing about me having a crush, but it blew over. I still remember it to this day. I think Ryan also knows about this, since he used to talk to my ex-classmates a lot. My only regret was now waiting until they asked Ryan about it. XD. Today's last post from Paper Radiator is titled "Stick to the Scheduling." You got it. Dot. Mandatory first-time poster, long-time lurker. Also on mobile. So about a year ago I started a new job in specialized technical support for electronic devices. For most of these products and issues we have a very extensive list and database of information from which follow procedures. One of these databases is specifically made for self-guided trainings and other informative things that we usually get assigned whenever needed. For these assigned trainings you'd usually get a few more minutes than actually needed, but sometimes a lot more. For the last few of these trainings, I have followed the schedule, finished my training, and went back to work. Usually this meant I had about half or more of the time assigned left over, meaning I could either knock some more work out, or touch up some previous interactions. This was until a few weeks ago. Manager: hey Paper Radiator, I noticed you are skipping out of training times and use this time for other things. Me: usually I have time over, this allows me to do stuff regarding previous interactions and lets me work clean. M: no, this is not what the time is assigned for. Fill in the time on those trainings and stay on that status. Whatever you do, I don't want you to do different work on training hours. Me: alright, no work. Understood, loud and clear. QMC. The next 2 weeks we get assigned more and more trainings for new launches, arising issues and more. Each day about 3 to 4 hours worth of trainings. Give or take. These trainings are straightforward and if you use the right resources, can be finished within 45 to 60 minutes, if you read clearly and follow the right information. More time really is not needed, and if there's nothing to do anymore. Well, I guess I won't do work, as requested. Needless to say, I have been enjoying about 15 plus hours per week freely doing chores in the house and other useful stuff on training time. At least I'm no longer doing work outside of the assigned hours. Bad me. TLDR. Manager wants me to stop doing work during training hours. I happily comply and use my time for better things.